on, Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 166 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, October 8th. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about losses, trades, and goal song redux. In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
What up?
And across from me is Mr. Jive.
Hey-o!
So, we're finally in the real hockey time here.
Well, kinda.
Kinda. Is it?
I don't know. We might be. I don't know if the Wild are.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a dream? Biddle-loo, biddle-loo, biddle-loo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
bring it back.
I just saw Wayne's World on, I don't know what channel it was on. It was on some channel. You know, it made me think of the song Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver.
Game on.
So who's going to go see Bohemian Rhapsody then when it comes out?
Who is playing Freddie Mercury? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that at one point and was like, oh, is it Noel Felding? I think.
I'm horrible with names.
It could be.
I think it is. He played the goth on IT Crowd.
Yep.
Oh.
Is it him?
I'm checking right now.
Okay.
It's actually out at the... Oh, November 1st.
Okay.
Because I pulled it up and it has showtimes for Bohemian Rhapsody, but then all of a sudden I looked up right above it, tiny little letters, it has the dates, and it's like, oh, that doesn't, yeah. Let's see.
Well, nowadays you gotta order your tickets like in advance, right?
To get if you're gonna go to Alamo Draft House, you want to. It's so worth it.
Rami Malek, who was on the USA show, the hacking show.
Mr. Robot,
yeah.
Hmm.
He's playing Freddie Mercury.
See, I would have gone with either Noel Felding or Sacha Baron Cohen.
Hmm.
You know, Borat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Noel Fleming would have really... maybe.
That's what I'm going to go with. But anyway. So how the hell did we end up here?
Jive asked if we're gonna go see Bohemian Rhapsody.
You started talking about Wayne's World, Dreamweaver, and then I thought about the Bohemian Rhapsody.
I suppose this is probably better than talking about the Wild losing, right?
It definitely is.
You know, it's more entertaining.
Well,
yeah, if we go to Queen, like we can go straight to We Are the Champions, right?
Or We Will Rock You.
Or We Will Rock You, yeah.
Bicycle race.
I like to ride my bicycle.
Which you can't do right now because it's cold as hell out and it's raining. It's
raining. Well, you can.
Apparently we're in Seattle now, which we also get to later in the show.
Yes.
Little teaser there.
Ooh.
Look at you. That's not really jumping the shark.
No. That's a tease.
Foreshadowing?
It's a tease. Yeah. It's a tease.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's get to the crappy part.
Yeah. Quit teasing these people and let's get into it. Getting into the Wild week here. The Wild faced off against Colorado again. I believe this was in the last 4 or 5 years, I think this is the third or fourth time that they've started off the season against the Avalanche. But they started off against the Avalanche. I mean, we played a game there. The Avalanche obviously had a little bit more speed. It was a close game, but the final score comes out 4-1. The lone Wild goal was scored by Parisi. There was, you know, a couple of, you know, empty net goals towards the end. The first empty net goal, a thing to note was that basically, there was kind of a slow change off between Dubnyk getting off and Greenway getting out there.
It may have not helped.
it probably wouldn't have helped because it was just a bad time for the goalie to be coming off when the puck was already kind of rebounding out of the out of the offensive zone.
Right.
But that said, I mean, they did that, and then they came back home here and faced off against the Golden Nuggets. Once again, it was it's not the Golden Nuggets. It's the Golden Knights, you know?
There is a Golden Nugget in Vegas.
Right. It's also a basketball team, but yeah.
They should
have been the Golden Nuggets at least, though, then.
They could have been.
Yeah.
Or the Mandalay Bays.
The Mandalay Bays.
The Excaliburs.
Or the Trump Towers.
Or the Winds.
The Winds.
The Winds.
With a Y. The Luxors.
What's the one with the pirate ship and stuff in front?
Oh, Treasure Island.
Yeah.
They could the Islanders.
Treasure Islanders.
Treasure Islanders.
But anyways, so the Golden Knights did. They showed up in town here. You know, we got off to a good start. I mean, Dumba, you know, he netted his first one of the season. But the Knights were able to bring one back and then send it into OT. And, you know, I mean, here we
go. Shootout.
Here we go again with the, you know, our OT woes. Yeah, we can't bury the puck. Luckily, they didn't put the puck in, so it goes to shootout. But
doesn't help us.
Shootout doesn't work our way, and yep.
Who wins it?
We fall to the
who wins
to the Golden Nuggets.
And who gets the game-winning goal?
Mr. Hall.
Holla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The unfortunate part was, yeah, the holla really came back to bite us there. And that said, I mean, though, I mean, no hard feelings for me for Holla, but, I mean, it's kind of part of how things worked out with the expansion draft, where, you know, basically, you know, they were able to have their pickings from several teams and take some of those worthwhile players. So it is what it is.
Well, and this is now 2 years in a row where the Wild have lost the home opener.
Yes.
In overtime. Because both have been overtime losses last year.
They have not lost in regulation in their home opener. I think it's like 14-0-4.
Yeah, but they're not getting 2 points over the last couple of years now. Boudreaux effect? I don't know.
It's a Boudreaux effect.
I don't know. I'm not going to try to make that a thing. But, yeah. Just saying.
But anyways, the last couple games here. So Thursday night, Dubnyk faced 38 shots in goal. Then coming back here against the Nuggets or the Knights. I do just want to call them the Nuggets.
That's our new name for them, I think. Yeah.
But
Golden Nuggets.
But facing 42 shots there. And I mean, if you look at, you know, those two games, you know, the first game, really, Dubnyk only let in two of those goals.
Yeah.
Which
is pretty surprising considering it was just a back and forth kind of game. It was just a running game. So Dubnyk really...
he stood his ground there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, nothing to shy away at in the game against the Golden Nuggets or Golden Knights. I mean, so... But, I mean, if we look at this, Parise had a goal in the first game. Good on us for that because, you know, that's what we're expecting out of him. It's nice to have him here and healthy. But then in game two, our only scoring comes from a defenseman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Dumba gets his first of the season. You know, so my question to you guys is, are the Wild just kind of wasting away this good goaltending that we're getting out of Dubnyk? You know, I mean... He's been pretty dang rock solid the last few years here for us.
Right.
And commonly the problem is that, you know, we don't have the offense to put us over the top. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think at least particularly I was noticing in the second game where the Wild are playing, trying to do their same old perimeter thing. No one's infrequently people are getting to the center of the net and parking themselves there and creating disruption. They're doing the patty cake around the edges, trying to hope something will materialize. Okay. And you don't have someone, you know, because the one thing about having a guy parked in front of the net, you know, I hate to go back to like Sean Avery or something like that, where it's that's the wrong way to do it as far as, you know, being a good sport. But you want to create screens. You want to disrupt. Ideally, even you, if you can deflect pucks in, you know, you need a few guys that can do that. And ideally, you have those guys on every line because then you have multiple ways to score. It's great if you got guys that can shoot from, you know, the perimeter and and actually score. It's hard to do that in the NHL, though.
Yes,
it is. You need someone. You need to mix it up, because the thing is, it's easy to game plan against a team that only can shoot from perimeter.
Right.
You know, it's super easy if you've against. I mean, it's no different than when teams would criticize chip and chase. Chip and chase is a great way to play the game. It's not great if that's the only way you play the game.
Right.
You need to have that in your toolbox because you need to be able to get around defense. Because if they, you know, clog up the blue line, you need to be able to get around them. Yep. So just like that, you know, playing a perimeter game, you need to be able to do something more than just that.
Need to be dynamic.
And the Wild are not that right now. Hopefully they can figure it out, you know. But the problem is the coaching hasn't changed. So I'm
Nor have the players really.
It's scary to say that they got to figure this out now. I mean, looking at going into the games tonight, there are 8 NHL players that have scored more than the Wild in 46 players that have scored as many goals as the Wild as a team right now.
Yeah. It's not good.
No, it's not. You know, and they already switched up the top 3 lines. So Ek moved up to the first line. Granny went down to the second. Third line is Greenway, Coyle, and Nino.
Yeah, how much of that is just rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, though, you know?
The chairs on the Titanic.
You know, maybe if you want the string quartet on the port side instead of the starboard.
Were they folding chairs?
Well, they weren't floating chairs, that's for sure.
No, they weren't.
Well, you don't need them to float on the ice.
That's the one I want to get. Fat fingered that one.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
So, but anyways, I mean, so we've kind of mentioned it here. We're off to a slow start, and as we mentioned before, Dubnyk. I mean, he's been pretty dang rock solid in goal.
Yeah.
But you know, after this opening week of play. You know, I know we kind of gave our thoughts a little bit before on how we thought the Wild season was going to go, but now that we've seen kind of a little bit of a, you know, sampling of what we've got here, what are your guys' thoughts on how this season is going to turn out for the Wild? Do you think that the playoffs will be in the picture, or are we, you know, currently going to be, you know, continue to share the basement with the in the Central with the Blues?
Well, if they score one goal a game, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
The fact that Dubnyk has really only given up 3 goals in regulation.
Yep.
That's not bad.
No, that's not.
That's going to keep us in games.
Yes, it will.
But we need some of these guys to step up.
Some form of offense.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a matter of them actually stepping up or changing the playbook, or I don't know what the solution is. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're trying right now ain't working, though.
Right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Because Dubnyk can only keep that up for so long. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually just kind of looking right now to see how many back to backs that the Wild have. I know we got a few coming up already.
Well, and I do know that I think at the beginning of the season that Boudreau had mentioned that, you know, he wants to see Dubnyk more around the, like, 50-game mark, you know, basically saying let's save them for the playoffs, you know. But
playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's singing about playoffs yet when
you got another 80 games to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been high on Dubnyk, so I'm pretty confident that he'll play well. I think his fundamentals are good, and the Wild are defensively a solid team. Mm-hmm. But you need some offense. You know, defense will win a lot of games, but you need to score something.
Yes, you do.
You know, you can't just shut them down and not score anything.
Right.
You know, you need to score, yeah. Period.
And when you consider out of the 12 forwards that we have, and we've only produced one goal out of those 12 forwards so far, that's pretty sad news to me.
Well, we've only managed two goals over two games.
Very true. But, you know, I'll take one goal every two games from my defensemen.
Right.
I will not take one goal every two games from my forwards.
That's not
acceptable.
And if that's going to be the, you know, what we're seeing more throughout the season, and I know it's super early, so yeah. I don't want to be the doom bringer or anything like that, but you have to imagine if things don't right themselves quickly, guys like Eric Staal, heck, even someone like Granlund, those could be guys that are the Wild are going to look at moving.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna hit a certain point where we're not gonna be able to recover.
Yep.
So it's got to be this month.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know that I have the faith that this team can turn a big slump around.
Well, I don't know. Boudreaux's teams, you know, like they can go on winning streaks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, how long does our new GM?
Well, and that's one thing is our new GM. We don't know his temperament. We don't know what Fenton, which is I think what you're trying to get at.
Yes.
The pause was trying to play the Fenton sample, which apparently our computers are dying here.
Yes.
we don't know what Fenton's temperament's going to be, so we don't know if he's going to be wanting to pull a trigger and make his impact, because we've been down that path before with Fletcher. Right. You know, if you guys remember the Nick Leddy for Cam Barker trade, you know, that was pretty early in his tenure. I'm hoping we don't see a similarly poorly thought out, lopsided against us deal.
Just like to prove that. A point.
You're right. Or just to make a trade for trade's sake, you know? Mm-hmm.
But that said, though, you know, I think that he's probably going to grow tiresome of the setup that he's been given. And if they're not producing, well, we got to, you know, something's got to give, right?
Well, he's only got, what, 7 years left of Parisian suitor. So
right.
he's going to be... sample out of nowhere. he's gonna be saddled with big contracts for a long time.
Just because you look like the gimp don't mean you play like the gimp.
Just be happy with it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There it is. I found it. Fenton. Yes.
So
that pretty much sums up the Wild week, though. Obviously,
Fenton.
I think everybody can agree with that. Dubnyk, though, I think has been probably the one standout over the week for us.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, he's made the Wild actually look competitive throughout these games by him playing as well as he has. So what do you say? Should we get into a little bit of the Wild card?
Let's do it.
Yep.
All right.
So, Granny hits 400. Granlund will become the 14th Wild player to play 400 games in a Wild sweater.
Your Granny is 400?
No, our Granny is 400.
Our Granny is 400.
he's six.
Better question is, will he ever get 400 hits in his career?
I don't know.
I don't think he will, but He's not a hitter kind of guy.
No. You know? So, sixth most scoring Wild player currently at 268 points.
Currently at 283 hits on his career.
Well, look at that. Maybe. Maybe.
A boy can dream. He's still pretty young. He's only 26, so he's pretty young.
He's got some time.
Yeah.
So he's only 8 points behind Parisi and almost 400 behind Koivu. Yeah, see? Who are the only two active Wild players with more points. Now, does he end up surpassing either of them, presuming he extends his contract? Because obviously if Parisi's still got another 7 years, Granny's got two, I believe.
Well, I guess it's all a matter of whether we think Granny can be retained. So that's a big what if. Similarly, you could say the same thing about Koivu, but Koivu has been around forever. But we don't know that he's going to be done at the end of his contract either. If I'm a bet man, I'm going to say he's not.
And I would have to say he's not too. I mean, Granny, I mean, he's been here. He's grown up here, you know, in the NHL now with the Wild. But if you're looking at things, he, you know, last season, I think, was the one where he did finally, you know, break out and started to show us a lot of, you know, what he can do and the points that he could put out there. But, I mean, really, so he's got that one good season under his belt.
He's got two. He's had two 20-goal seasons and two 60-point seasons.
Yeah, the last two.
Yeah. The last two.
Yeah, the last two. Yeah.
All right. So he's shown now that he's come around. And yeah, will the Wild be able to hang on to it? And my other question is, a guy of his size, you know, I mean, he plays like a big guy. Not a real big guy, but I mean,
he only has so much weight that he can.
Right. Yeah. But he's
kind of like Spurgeon. Spurgeon plays like a big guy, but he's not a big guy, so he can't really play like a big guy.
Right. But they're not afraid to, you know, get in there and scrap for the puck a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know.
If Coyle played like Granlund, he'd be an all-star.
Oh, God. Yes.
But he doesn't play like Granlund. He plays like I don't know what.
He plays like Coyle.
He plays like, he plays like Coyle.
Coyle rules.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Okay.
I need a shower after that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so really I don't think that, like, he's ever going to catch somebody probably like Parisi. I mean, Parisi doesn't have a lot of size, you know, over Granlund, but he does, you know, I mean, every time you see a play going on around the front of the net and Parisi's there, I mean, he's getting one, two, sometimes three shots on the goal.
Right.
And, I mean, he's always in there digging, and that's, I think, where, you know, Parisi's bread and butter comes in is because he gets in there and he'll do that.
Well, and a good chunk of Granlund's points are assists.
Yeah.
Which he's already above Parisi by, 54 assists?
Well, I think the question was, will Granlund pass them over his career? I think Koivu, yes. Parisi, maybe not so much, because if you're including Parisi's time away from the Wild and when he was in New Jersey, then I would say, you know, maybe they would eventually kind of match up. Because I think Granlund's got more talent than Koivu does. It's just whether or not that he's got the golden ticket to stay with the Wild for as much. True. And who knows? Maybe it works out. I'm just not optimistic considering the flexibility that his contract has, and the fact that we've got a new GM that I don't know what his tendencies are as far as retaining people.
But everybody loves their granny, right?
Maybe not for almost $6 million a year.
Now when you already paid Dumba and Zucker and Parisi and Suter and
Koivu.
So it goes back to like when your grandparents gave you a quarter and said, don't spend it all in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. So in other news, Kuhn is set to more than likely return to Iowa. He skated Saturday morning. He passed Bruce Boudreau's skate test. Just waiting for medical clearance, and it sounds like just to kind of get him back up to speed, he's going to start off down in Iowa for a little bit.
I wonder if I could pass Bruce Boudreau's skate test.
I highly doubt it.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How much Haagen-Dazs can you eat?
See, I could probably hang with him on that. See?
However.
Me and Boudreau, man, we'd be like that.
You can pass the scoop test.
Yes.
Although, you know, maybe we should all three of us go down there and see who can get the farthest on Boudreau's skate test.
Great. Scoop test.
Scoop test.
And then we'll go out and we'll go to
Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs, yeah. Or maybe I'll take them to Bridgman's. Do they have those out anymore?
I don't know. I haven't heard that name in ages.
I just remember back when I was like in high school or something.
I remember going up to the counter.
Yeah. But you could go there, you could get this like thing of ice cream. They call it, I think, the Lollapalooza or something like that. It was very similar to the show that went around, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they'd have like a scoop of like every single flavor of ice cream in there, and if you finished it up, that was like one of the original food, you know, eat all this and you get the, you know,
the food challenge.
Food challenge. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Corporate office is still in Oakdale.
Still in Oakdale. See?
Corporate offices.
All right.
Let's see. Do we have any around here? Let's check the locations.
Meet me there, Boudreau. 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Well, I don't think they're... It doesn't look like they're actual...
They're just selling their ice cream.
Yeah.
They're only selling their ice cream now.
See? But they used to have locations way back when.
Yeah.
And I say way back when, that's like when we were kids, but, you know.
A few decades back. I've got
some gray hairs going in here.
Now. There used to be a Bridgman's back. About 4 blocks from my parents' house, and we'd go down there. They had a long counter. You could get ice cream and malts and shakes and stuff.
There's one on 37th and Central. Ooh. The building's still there. I don't remember what it is now.
I'm pretty sure it's a hair salon now, at least the one by my parents' house. So
I know the one in Richfield that I used to go to is now Pizza Luce. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
So there's your history on Bridgman's ice cream.
All right. Bet you never thought you'd hear about that. What was your question, though?
I like ice cream.
I like ice cream.
I like ice cream.
I like ice cream.
Have you ever blacked out eating ice cream? Oh, wait. Do you wrong like, podcast, sorry.
Do you like ice cream?
Boudreau likes ice cream.
Boudreau likes ice cream.
Let's go get some Haagen-Dazs.
Maybe we got to switch them over to Bridgman's now.
They all close. He doesn't want to go to a grocery store or the 37 locations that Bridgman's ice cream is sold at now.
Well, Max Industrial has it, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways. So... Kunin's back. Probably go
this
to
is
Iowa.
What happened when the Wild lose. We're talking about... Freaking ice cream.
That's right. You know, you got to be depressed and you got to get your carton of ice cream and just sit and eat, right?
Ice cream, you scream. We all scream about
the wild. Yep. So, in other news, Olofsson got traded to Montreal. He traded for a center right wing, Will Bitten.
Once bitten, twice shy.
5'10", quick, but more of a playmaker, not as much of a scorer, because we need more of those on our team.
So, we'll have to share this somewhere, but a few pictures I looked at online of Will Bitten, he looks like Kylo Ren, in my humble opinion, Adam Driver, So I kind of want him to like wear a Darth Vader mask, or Kylo Ren mask, I guess.
Can players start getting their helmets painted?
Yeah, why not?
If he, oh my goodness, he does.
You see?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely does.
So we have Han Solo's son.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Little
bit. Sounds like a great deal to me. A Swede for Han Solo's son?
Sure.
Why not?
Yet another Swede.
So, yeah.
Yes!
I think that's what we got for...
Yet another Swede.
Yet another...
Yes! Sorry.
Oh, that took too long. That's
oh,
funny.
Oh, boy. That's it. That's what we got for stuff.
All right. We better get into, like, maybe some questions that the listeners have, because...
Don't talk
some
about
Twitter.
We're obviously off the rails here, right?
Twitter talk.
Here
talk.
We go.
Why not? All right. Twitter talk. First question. And we actually have two questions that are kind of go together, so I'm going to... Then I'll lump them together here. First question from Derek Felsa at Crease and Assist on Twitter. Vegas Golden Knights, or Golden Nuggets, depending on who you ask. resident tough guy Ryan Reeves again ran roughshod through the Minnesota Wild on Saturday, despite Marcus Foligno being in the lineup. I think Foligno tried to fight him. It was, it wasn't really a fight. It was a hugging match. Should Wild fans consider him a failure on not being able to deter such behavior? Foligno, should he be the one who is stopping the big guys from destroying them?
Well, we don't have anybody else that can.
Well, and what I would have to say to that, though, is this was Reeves we're talking about.
Yeah.
As I sat and watched the game... found myself several times saying that dude is just a jackass. I mean, it's
oh yeah,
it's plain and simple. That's what he is.
He was chirping from the penalty box.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, giving the boo-hoo signs.
Yep.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, he's just a jackass. And honestly, I think what the Wild need to do is not let somebody like that get under their skin.
You know how you do it? You score some freaking goals.
You score some goals.
Because, you know, if he's doing the boo-hoo and they're down by three,
yeah,
his coach
boo-hoo
is,
you.
His coach is not going to be
right.
You know, taking very kindly to this sort of antagonization.
Well, and he's definitely lucky that they almost did lose that one.
Yeah. But on that point, what explanation can you, also from Crease and Assist, what explanation can you give to the fact that dirty players like Brad Marchand and Dustin Byfuglien avoid lengthy discipline by the NHL for the nasty acts? Is it a matter of markets at play for? Is it blackmail? I'd love to hear your theories. Dirty players, how do they get away with it?
I don't know if Byfuglien is completely dirty. I think he's just a big dude that throws his body around.
He's had a few instances. I mean, he's not...
he's not an altar boy by any means, but...
No, but he's also not... he's not Matt Cook, you
or
know.
Sean Avery,
Bertuzzi.
You know, he's a little different. They're just irritating, is really what it comes down to. At least that's the way I view it. And I think they straddle the line. Don't get me wrong. Much to your point of not being choir boys, but. They straddle the line, and sometimes they cross it.
Yeah. But they stay more in that gray area.
Right.
Where somebody like Reeves, I mean, honestly, just all right. That dude is just a plain jackass.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's like not quite Avery level, but close.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Actually, we got a kind of a couple of them here again, too, that kind of fit together. First one comes in from... MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost. Three in the box. What about the start of the Walker by Fritz and the Tantrums? I mean, what? How would that sound? 1,900 people whistling together.
No, have you heard the stadium try to clap together? Yeah, that would make more sense. I think they can't even clap together. You want them to whistle together?
Hey, a crowd that whistles together.
Nope.
Claps together.
Nope. Just nope. I'm just noping out of this one. Nope. Nope.
Aaron?
A crowd that whistles together fizzles together.
Fizzles together.
I don't know. There's not much in the way of good rhymes on whistles there.
We'll be handing out crackers at the beginning of the game.
I refuse to endorse anything by Fits in the Tantrums. That damn whistling song, the clapping song, they can all go to hell and die.
Oh, that's the clappers too?
Yeah.
I can make your hands clap.
Yeah. No. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm noping out of this one too.
I will throw you in the lake, and I will feel no shame or regret.
No shame. All right. Increasing assists is also wondering, so Foggy Wild fans, they got their wish and had the organization bring back the Joe Satriani song, the crowd chant, as the team's goal song. So what else do you guys think they should, bring back? Should the Minnesota Wild organization consider it?
I think they should bring back the North Stars.
Bring back the North Stars?
If you're asking,
yeah.
Why not? Bring back the North Stars.
We just be North Stars, yeah.
And go back to Gary Glitter.
I'd say bring back Danny Heatley.
Bring back Danny Heatley
or Kyle Brodziak. Let's make it interesting here.
How about both?
Why not? It's like 2007 all over. You
throw Kanapka in there as well.
Yeah, I'll
Felska's
Bugard.
Felska's idea was to bring back.
He might be a little rotten now.
To bring back the season ticket and beer prices from the first season.
Except beer prices, that also probably comes with beer selection. Oh. Yeah. So it's probably all Bud Light.
Yeah.
Budweiser.
Or was it Miller and Miller Lite back then?
You're not going to see Northeast. You're Summit. Not going to Summit.
Surly.
Yeah.
Could I still get a Mike's Hard Lemonade out there?
Probably.
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 If you really want one.
Right. Let's bring back...
Gabrick. And his glass groin.
Is he retired now?
I think he's played for a Canadian team.
Yeah, last I remember, he was with Ottawa.
Yeah, right? I think you're right. I think it was Ottawa. There we go. I'm pretty sure.
Yep, Ottawa.
Yep.
But he's yet to play this season, so he might be dunsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he started off in 2000, so it's.
Been 18 a while.
Year, 17 year career.
Well, they can't all be Lemieux.
No.
Or not Lemieux.
No.
Yager.
Yager.
Gabby's hurt.
Go. What?
Yeah, say it isn't so. I know.
You gotta be kidding me.
I know. Herniated disc.
He's gotta be done. He can't.
Yeah, he's 35, he's super old.
He just needs a 7-year contract.
Yeah, he just needs
somebody will sign him for 7 years, right? The Wild will bring him back.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Feel good story of the decade.
Well, they, Felska was asking, what should we bring back? Here we go.
Well,
now under Kenny's suggestion here, we're bringing back Gabrick.
So great. Well, that kind of rolls into our next question because Gabby had some speed back in the day when he wasn't, hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's lost maybe a step or two. But Chris and Assist asks us, should the Wild consider mixing Metamucil Silver in with the Gatorade / Powerade this season? It's all Gatorade. It's all sponsorship.
I thought it was Aspire, man.
Well, Aspire. Well, if not, well, then...
Way to go, Suter. You ruined your deal.
Stop. You can answer this next question, then. If not Metal Musil Silver, what do you suggest a club do to rejuvenate themselves?
Milk from Quick Trip, duh.
Yeah.
Milk from Quick Trip. Because it's different.
And with that, Jay Bushy also asked, the Wild look very slow in the first two games. What can they do to get faster? Bag skate.
Bag skate.
Bag skate. That's how we just said drink milk from Quick Trip.
And bag skate.
And a bag skate.
Yeah. Why not? Why Nazis?
Hey.
Why Nazis, buddy?
If you're going to drag all day, you're not dancing all night.
All right. Next question from Crease and Assist. Any chance that Bruce Boudreau loses his job before Halloween this season if this pathetic start continues? Not saying he deserves it, but it's always easier just switching out the coach and the players.
Not a chance.
And will he have a job at the end of the season?
We'll see how the season
plays out. By the end of the season is a little bit different question. By the end of October, I can say definitely not.
It would take a pretty colossal failure for. Yeah. I mean, if they lose every game or maybe less one game in October, that's about the only situation where I think Boudreau's gone.
Didn't he start off like the season before he came to the Wild with Anaheim like 0-14 or something like that? Or
yep,
and then they went to the playoffs, right?
And I think they made it a few rounds in.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I think he's around here. I don't think Boudreau is looked on as the issue at this point. I mean, when you look at things right now, we have been through a few different coaches, basically with the same core group of players here. At some point, you got to quit blaming the coaches.
Yep.
Well, GM for some of these contracts, but he's already gone.
Yep. So the coaches have been replaced. The GM has been replaced. At some point, you just got to say, okay, we're going to rebuild mode and dumping all this stuff and going for something.
Why don't we just relocate the team and get a new one?
Or maybe they finally fire Darby Hendrickson.
he's survived pretty much everything.
He's like a cockroach.
Maybe, though, you might be onto something here, Kenny. We sell the team off, move them somewhere.
Like maybe the city in question?
Yeah. I mean, do you remember back when we came in as a expansion team?
I thought you were...
There was no, you know, getting to take players from everywhere, like their best players and...
Well, there was an expansion draft, but
there was
because it's us in Columbus.
The rules weren't nearly as
In favor of the expansion teams.
No, it's like owners have figured out. You know, I'm paying $500 million. I think I should get something in return for that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yep.
But speaking of expansion,
Speaking of expansions. Next question comes in from, let's see here, T-Hain88. When the Seattle team is added to the league, which one of the 9 West Coast teams gets dumped in the Central?
I'm going to have to go with Edmonton.
Well, I mean, you look at the teams in the Pacific right now. You have Anaheim.
Nope.
L.A.
Nope.
San Jose.
Nope.
Vancouver.
Nope.
Vegas.
Maybe.
Calgary.
Nope.
Edmonton.
Well, maybe Calgary.
Or Arizona. I'm thinking Calgary. It could be Edmonton, but Calgary geographically I think makes sense.
Isn't
Edmonton closer?
I can't remember which one is closer, farther.
Calgary.
Calgary, I thought was farther west.
That's why he puts a hashtag Rand McNally. That's funny.
I mean, what it comes down to is someone in Canada is going to get screwed. I mean, really, Calgary and Edmonton are, depending on the curvature of the earth, they're pretty much north and south of each other. So,
but and when you, also when you look at it though, it would make sense for one of those teams to go,
yeah.
Because then you've got a couple of Canadian teams in the Central, a couple Canadian teams out west, and a couple Canadian teams out east, right?
You could make the argument that Edmonton makes more sense only because Calgary is closer to Seattle.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to harvest or foster rivalries.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but Seattle's
got to have the real rivalry runs days.
Why not?
That's going to be Vancouver.
You usually obviously want more than one team, though, yeah, to play on that. You know, much like they want to try to make, you know, the Wild be enemies with Winnipeg, Chicago, St. Louis, everyone in the division. I mean, and it, being in its somewhat close proximity helps. Obviously, Vancouver and Seattle are, like, on top of each other, so.
Calgary would be closer to Vancouver than Edmonton.
I mean, they're both, but
yeah,
they're both closer. I mean, Calgary's more southern, so it's you're really, which one is closer?
Are they in the same time zone? I thought, for some reason, I was thinking that they were in two different time zones.
I'm pretty sure they're the same time zone, yeah.
Yeah.
You could probably choose either, really. I mean, you could actually make an argument that Arizona should be in the Central because they're less west.
Maybe Arizona.
Maybe Edmonton's just going to lose their franchise.
And Arizona would have that rivalry with Colorado and Dallas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe Arizona.
We have not answered this question at all. We just add more questions.
Hey.
Okay.
I do have a prediction.
Yeah, what is that?
They're going to add a new division.
But
are we going to go back to eight? Six? Six is not what we had six before, right? I mean, it'll be 32 teams.
Yeah. I mean, you could add a division, but you'd have uneven divisions then.
Well, you'd almost have to add...
Or you go to like NFL and do four divisions in each conference.
Because four would work, then you'd have...
We're
at four divisions now. It had to be
eight. Well, four divisions per conference.
Right.
Right.
So then you're looking at four teams per.
Yep. And I think that's a little different equation then. Mm-hmm. Do you think the NHL would split that much, though?
I don't know.
Go to four divisions per conference?
Well, you know, the playoffs, they got a few months that they're not playing hockey.
I mean, it would probably help with travel if you're playing truly your closest rivals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you know, if they did that, they'd probably take Chicago out of our division again.
Yeah, probably.
It'd be like the Vikings playing when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in the Central Division.
But yeah. They may not, though. I mean, because you could have a Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary.
Oh,
you'd have...
Imagine how beautiful that'd be. And you play more against your division.
Yeah. You'd have San Jose, L.A.
Anaheim,
Vegas, Arizona, Colorado, Dallas, St. Louis, Winnipeg, us, Chicago... Detroit, maybe?
Detroit. Mm-hmm. So Detroit would come back to us.
Again. Or Columbus. I mean, depending on who lost the coin flip on that.
Yeah.
That could be interesting, actually. I like that more than someone moving to our division.
I mean, do you remember years back when we were talking about, you know, the amount of travel time that the Wild had between, you know.
Oh, it cut down.
Flying to West Coast and the East Coast.
I mean, it was really bad because when we were in the same division as Vancouver.
Right.
And
yeah.
That stunk.
Ridiculous, yes.
So that would be kind of interesting, too, if they set the schedule up where you would go out and you basically do a circuit of the division.
Yeah. It makes planning your road trips a little easier,
if they could pull that off. But, yeah, you know, go out and do like the Vegas, California trip, and then go out and do like the Seattle through
Canada. You could do that divisional strip, come home for a few games, then back out. And
and if the NHL wants to hire me, I would promote this as the NHL going green. We're trying to save on fuel and emissions and things like that. We're cutting down.
We're carbon neutral.
Yeah,
we'll just get everybody back on buses. We'll get Elon Musk.
Oh, buses are better.
We'll get Elon Musk to.
Oh, then planes. Yeah, they are actually. They actually are a lot better.
It depends what bus, because I've seen some buses that get some pretty. Well, but planes aren't.
Here. Planes don't get very good mileage. No, they really
don't. We'll do an EV, electric vehicle bus.
Oh.
Tesla style.
See? And then they're going to become real carbon neutral, and they're going to start saying, okay, the losing team has to kill a player.
What is this, the Hunger Games now?
Battle Royale, man. Hunger Games stole that.
Well, it would open up some salary cap space.
You might not want to be the highest salaried on the team anymore now, would you?
We're looking at you, Parisi. Yeah.
Suter?
I'll take a pay cut.
Suter, get in line.
Who is your tribute?
Oh, boy. All right. I think that takes us through all the Twitter questions. All
right. So, I guess that's the end of the show then, right?
Yeah.
Is this how this works? This is like the first podcast I've ever done.
I don't know. Do we have the outro sample? You might want to hit that now so it'll go off. Right.
All right. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Pretty much Twitter, Instagram, at NostraKenius. You can see some of my travels as of late.
And Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I am at Jive Midnight.
As for me, I'm on Twitter as well, at Angry Finn. I'm hopefully tweeting about stuff that doesn't involve in it, ESPN fantasy hockey.
Horrible.
It's terrible. You can follow us on Twitter at 3 in the Box. If you got questions, send us those tweets. We're hashtag 3ITB. We'll read them on the show because that's what we do. Go to our website, 3inthebox.com, and yeah. Dumbo.